I thank God that I understood this many years ago, that I could have fellowship with the Father without ever going to a praise and worship meeting. By denying my will, by taking up my cross every day, saying no to my will when somebody does something against my will, and I yield. I say, okay, do it your way. You know, something happens to me. I get into fellowship with the Father. The Father is delighted that I gave up my will. What is the reason for all the conflict between husband and wife in many homes? I'll tell you. It's two strong people, a strong husband and a strong wife, neither of them willing to yield their will. Then the veil is still there. There's no fellowship with God. And there's conflict, conflict, conflict. If one of them denies his will, there'll at least be peace in the home. If both deny their will, there'll be fellowship. Fellowship is higher than peace. Peace is where one of the partners is still stubborn, but the other yields his will. Fellowship is where both yield their will, where both take up the cross. It's the same in a church. In the leadership of a church, you can have two strong elder brothers. That's good to be strong. The church needs strong people. We don't need weaklings and sissies to lead the church. We need strong people. But we need strong people who know how to yield their will. If you have two strong elders and one is willing to yield, you have peace. If both are willing to yield their will, you have fellowship. That's the way to build the church. And if others in the church follow that example, it will become a blessed church where fellowship increases and increases. Nobody gets offended because they see everything as an opportunity to die to their own will. And they know that each time the veil is rent, we have fellowship with the Father. And that's why we need to have light on ourselves. I'll tell you honestly, you know, many of you who know me know I'm a very strong person. God made me like that. But what you probably don't know is that many a time I've learned to yield my own will. Because I want fellowship with God. That's so important for me. I'd rather give up everything else in the world and not have my own way in anything if I can have fellowship with God. Value it, my brother. If you value your own will and you want your own way more than fellowship with God, God will see that and you'll have your own way. But you'll miss fellowship with God. And many a time in your life, you have missed fellowship with God in your church, in your home. Don't make that mistake again. Fellowship with God is the most wonderful thing in the whole world. Joy comes through fellowship with God. What many people call joy is this superficial emotion. Emotion is a part of the soul. Many a time the feelings that you have when you sing very moving songs. You know, songs like, I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. But a voice from heaven said, let him go, take me instead. Oh, that moves me. Or when I hear, he had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. It moves me. I'm not saying we should kill our feelings. It moves me. I weep when I think of Jesus' sufferings. But I know spirituality doesn't come through tears. Spirituality comes through denying my own will. Many of people who get very moved in the worship time and the praise and thanksgiving time, they go out and remain exactly the same afterwards. They fight just as much on Sunday afternoon with their husbands and wives as they did all their life, even though they had a wonderful time of praise and worship. It's a deception. It's the deception which is most prevalent in Christendom today. You can listen to a message like this and get all stirred. Say, boy, I have understood the secret of spirituality now. Have you? We'll test that next week. Ask your husband to tell you. Ask your wife to tell you whether you understood the secret of spirituality. Not this week. This week we are all spiritual. We look very holy. It'll be next week that it is tested. In our place of work, in our home, when things go wrong, when things don't go the way you want it to go, You will discover in that day whether you have understood to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and let go this soul life of yours. Let it be killed, let it die, so that from it can come another life, a resurrection life, a life of Jesus. That is the way of Christianity, of true Christianity. And he who has found it has found the secret of perpetual joy, of perpetual overcoming. He has found the secret of being in touch with God, a God who can solve every problem. He's always triumphant. How do you think Paul could say in 2 Corinthians 2:14, "Thanks be to God who leads us in triumph always." I used to read verses like that and say, "Lord, there is a secret men like Paul had which I haven't discovered yet. And I was determined to discover it." And that's where the Lord showed me the way of the cross. When I was seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit, even as a young man, the Lord pointed me to the way of the cross. The way of the cross is the answer to everything. Death to the soul life. Death to this Adamic life. When Adam chose the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he was choosing soul life over spiritual life. I want to develop my soul. And there are people in the world today who have developed the soul so much. Ungodly people. Hypnotism. They develop the soul power so much they can hypnotize people. You submit to them, they will hypnotize you that they can cut your hand and you won't feel any pain. That is the power of the soul. I've heard of people who can bend a steel spoon just by the power of their mind. Can you believe that? Who can move a physical object with the power of their mind. It's amazing the power of mind. I'm not asking you to develop all that, but I'm just saying that this is what Adam chose. The way of developing the soul, and yoga and Hinduism and Buddhism have got a lot of this in it. And unfortunately, a lot of Christian preachers, because you don't have discernment, you may not know it. But I can see it when I watch some of these people on Christian television. I can see that is soul. It's not spirit. You know, there are deliberate emphases made in the way they speak to stir your emotions. There are techniques that preachers have developed. Play the music a little softly while I give an invitation. And the people are moved and sing a song slowly. Move people emotions. And use certain emphases when you speak. Come to Jesus and do this. You know, this type of stuff. Have you heard it? You watch these TV programs, you'll see it. It's all soul. It's not the way normally speak. He doesn't speak to his wife saying, "How are you, darling?" They don't speak like that to their wife. That's only to fool you. They don't talk. It's not. We are supposed to talk normally. Do you think Jesus spoke in a different way when he preached? He is speaking absolutely normal. Whenever a person speaks in a different tone, you know the guy is being artificial. It's soul power to move people. And because this preacher knows that 99% of people sitting there are all dumb spiritually, they can't discern between soul and spirit, they can't discern between feelings and the Holy Spirit, they all swallow this ploy. "Brother, have you heard this man?" I say, "Oh, I've heard plenty of people like him." The power of the Holy Spirit is so different. Whenever you hear a man, ask yourself, do you think Jesus would have spoken like that? You see all these people who carry a mic and run up and down the platform? That's why in the CFC we made the platform so small that people won't have time, place to run around. We eliminate all those preachers automatically. But they run around to just whip up your emotions. And there are other places where they have drums, you know, just to, and they meet in the drum faster and faster and faster, and they bounce on their knees more and more and more. And finally, the Spirit has come. What is this? It's deception. It's baptism of the soul being counterfeited as baptism in the Holy Spirit. Feelings. That is why I tell people, any experience that you had in an emotionally tense meeting, put a big question mark on it. If you got a so-called baptism in the Holy Spirit in some emotionally worked up meeting, what you probably got was a baptism of the soul. Maybe you spoke in tongues. There are Muslims who speak in tongues. There are Buddhists who speak in tongues. So what? I've actually heard a person who spoke in tongues when the demon was cast out, he stopped speaking in tongues. Demons speak in tongues. And there is a genuine speaking in tongues too. The genuine tongues edifies us. It's not the repetition of 3-4 syllables, back and forth for 2 minutes. No, it's a language. And you know the difference between language and baby talk. A lot of what I hear in tongues in public is just baby talk. Abba da 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 da. What is that? You can make out it's not a language. But they're fooling people left and right. And tongues is primarily meant for our private communication with God. It's meant to help us to, because of the limitations of our mind in our communication with God. That's why Jesus never needed it. Why didn't Jesus speak in tongues? Because he had no limitation in his mind in his communication with his Father. It's a temporary gift God has given us because of sin that has warped our mind and made our mind crooked and limited us. A temporary gift God has given us on earth to communicate with the Father. Very useful. But it's primarily to communicate with the Father. That's why when you go to heaven, you'll never speak in tongues for the rest of eternity. You don't need it. We need to understand these things. And these are messages that are never spoken anywhere in Christendom because they want to fool people, keep them under subjection. You know, if you can move a person emotionally, hypnotize them, control them, make them subject to you. I know as a preacher, it's very easy to use my power as a preacher and the gift God has given me to make people subject to me and be afraid of me. And I never use it like that. You can make money with it, you can get power with it, you can get honor with it. And the moment I do that, I will be corrupting the gift God gave me. I learned that from when the devil told Jesus, turn the stones into bread. You were anointed 40 days ago, you got power. Use the power to satisfy your personal need. And Jesus said, no. And what the Lord taught me was, any gift I give you must never be used by you to benefit yourself. You must not make money through it. You must not get honor through it. You must not get anything for yourself through it. Zero. But Jesus used that power to feed 5,000, to make bread for 5,000. And the Lord said, you can use the power I give you to bless other people, but never to get any profit for yourself. That's why I don't seek to make profit from my books, CDs, sermons, anything. I'm amazed that people do all that in Christendom today. Because they don't understand what baptism in the Holy Spirit is. What denying your own will is.